In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Renouncing all distractions, asking for the grace to pray well. Come, Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful. Kindle on them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, O God, who didst instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Ghost. Grant us by the same Holy Ghost to be made truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
make our hearts like unto thine.
O Mary, daughter of the Father, mother of the Son, and faithful spouse of the Holy Ghost,
pray for us.
All of the angels, saints, and holy souls,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I pray that all of you receive many graces on this Trinity Sunday, and which is celebrated throughout at least the United States, I think, as Father's Day, remembering that we all have a Father in heaven, and we all have a Father on earth. And today we should offer extra prayers and sacrifices for them, whether they be alive or already called back into eternity. Today we will continue explaining the article of the Creed, the remission of sins, and continuing to talk about the examination of conscience. There is a great advantage derived both from reading things, and these will be very abundant for those who apply their spiritual exercises. It will be very helpful to examine and to see if he's practicing in his daily life what has been meditated upon or read for that spiritual reading. And St. John Chrysostom gave us some good advice. Every night before sleep approaches, call forth the judgment of your conscience. Exact an account from it. Search deep and take to pieces the evil counsels you have followed during the day and inflict a penalty for them. How good this practice is and how conducive to Christian virtue, the more prudent teachers of Christian piety clearly prove by the best counsels and exhortations. I would like to point out something that St. Bernard said. As a diligent sifter of thine own virtue, examine thy life in the daily revision. Observe carefully what advance thou mayest have made, or what retrogressions. Endeavor to know thyself. Place all thy transgressions before thine eyes. Set thee up before thyself as if before another, and then bewail thyself. And in addition to what the saints have told us, we might also recall what Jesus Christ happened to pronouncing his great counsels to be fulfilled. The children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And why are they wiser? Because they keep track of how they're doing in the worldly business. But how often Christians, Catholics neglect to keep track of how well they're doing in their spiritual life. They neglect so many of our spiritual exercises that it's a wonder we make any progress in virtue. Look at the worldly people, for example, who are truly running a business that is flourishing. Will you not realize that they compare their expenditures and receipts and very accurately keep records very strictly and audit their accounts? They are grieved for losses sustained, but they let that motivate them to redouble their energy and efforts to exert themselves to make good their past mistakes. If all of us would do the same in the spiritual life, what great progress we would make and what a tremendous amount of virtue we would build up before death and what a glorious place in heaven for eternity. But so seldom do many Christians and Catholics take this seriously. Our minds perhaps, instead of being on fire and in great zeal to save our souls and help saving other souls, maybe it's because of the weakness of human nature, but we're more eager to capture honors or to increase our property, to acquire material things, to acquire by the help of learning public reputations and glory. While unfortunately, we treat the most important difficult business of attaining to sanctity with listlessness and contempt. We seem to care less whether we increase every day in virtue. We seem to neglect to really, truly realize how long eternity will last and that our resting place for eternity depends upon the amount of sanctifying grace in our soul the moment we die. And that depends upon how much sanctifying grace we gain every day and never lose again. We can increase in grace by prayer, alms, deeds, and good works, but do we apply ourselves or just go through mechanical motions and profit little in our spiritual life? It could be said of us what was written in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 8. I passed by the field of the slothful man and by the vineyard of the foolish man, and behold, it was all filled with nettles, and thorns had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. Excuse me, that's from the book of Proverbs. But anyway, that is the sad state that summarizes how so many live. So hopefully today we will learn the great lesson of how to use in the different examinations to overcome these faults and failings and weaknesses of human nature. Because these matters grow more serious by the evil examples that are always being multiplied around us. I suppose the saints have thought that centuries ago, but no matter, it still seems that evil is getting the upper hand in the world. There is a great need to walk each day more cautiously and to strive with greater energy to increase in sanctifying grace and to do good and avoid evil. Now it is well known by experience that he who goes through frequent and severe self-judgment of his thoughts, words, and deeds, he is stronger in spirit to hate and avoid evil and to pursue and love good. Therefore, let us make the resolution on this Feast of the Most Holy Trinity to do what the Holy Trinity wants us to do in this veil of tears, that we will have a higher degree of glory with them for eternity. Basically speaking, the examinations of conscience are some of the greatest spiritual exercises that we can all use to increase in grace and virtue and eradicate our faults, failings, and sins. And these examinations of conscience are basically of two kinds, those which should be made daily and those which should be made at longer periods. And again, the daily examinations are broken down into the general examination and the particular examination. And the other periodical examinations are the examination before confession and the examination of the dispositions of our soul, which is especially suited for the time of retreat. If you've done spiritual reading, you probably know of more than two methods, but I think it's quite well known to those who have read many spiritual books that two great saints have left us methods, even directed much to people living in the world instead of just the religious life, although St. Ignatius' method was more for religious, I would think. But these two great saints, St. Ignatius of Loyola and St. Francis de Sales, have given us details of how to use the examination of conscience for a great spiritual profit. In their methods, St. Ignatius in his spiritual exercises gives us five general points in making the general examination. The first point is to give thanks to our Lord God for the benefits I have received. Notice that, which is important, begin your examination by giving thanks. As Jesus Christ exhorts us and St. Paul exhorts us, give thanks in all things. The second point St. Ignatius outlines is to ask grace to know and to root out my sins. If you do not petition for the grace, then God is less likely to grant it to you. But if you ask, fulfilling the requirements with humility, perseverance, confidence, then God has promised to hear our prayers. If we ask properly, God will grant us the grace to see our souls and to root out our sins, faults, and failings. The third point that St. Ignatius points out is to review the time hour by hour or period by period from the moment I rose down to the present examination and to demand an account of my soul, first of my thoughts, then of my words, and lastly of my actions, in the same way as is explained in the particular examination. And the fourth point that St. Ignatius brings forth is to ask pardon of our Lord God for the faults we have committed, especially sins that we have committed. And do not neglect this fifth point, which is, with his grace, to propose amendment and be specific what you're going to do instead of a general, well, I'll just do better in the future. Think of specific things that will conquer that vice, overcome that sin, not to fall in the future. Before we go into more details on what St. Ignatius outlines, let us cover what St. Francis de Sales wrote in his book, Introduction to the Devout Life, which can be heard in MP3 files on my website, www.jmjsite.com. Go under the audio tab and listen to the audio books. You'll find it there. But anyway, St. Francis de Sales outlines in these words, as to the examination of conscience, which must always be made before bedtime, everyone knows how it is to be performed. First, we give thanks to God for having preserved us during the day. And here we see St. Francis de Sales following the outline of St. Ignatius and the other spiritual writers to begin by giving thanks to God for having preserved us during the day from falling even into worse sins than we might have unfortunately committed. The second point of St. Francis de Sales is that we examine how we have behaved ourselves during the entire course of the day. And to do this, the more easily we may consider where we have been, in whose company, and in what business we have been employed. The third point outlined by St. Francis de Sales: if we find that we have done anything good, we must thank God for it. Or if, on the other hand, we have done something evil, whether in thought, word, or deed, we must ask pardon of His Divine Majesty, firmly resolving to amend and confess at the first opportunity. And the fourth point, we afterwards recommend to the protection of Divine Providence our soul and body, the Holy Church, and our parents and friends. And finally, we beg of the Blessed Virgin Mary, of our angel guardian, and of the saints, to watch over us and pray for us. And thus, with the blessing of God, we go to take the rest which His will has appointed for us. Let us each look into our own way of living and see if we have been faithful in making this particular examination of conscience at the end of every day. If not, let us make the firm resolution to begin tonight, this very day, to do so. St. Ignatius, in his method just outlined, gives these 5 points, namely thanksgiving, petition, examination, contrition, and the purpose of amendment. And the method of St. Francis de Sales is very close in his 4 points: thanksgiving, examination, contrition, and recommendation. Remember, especially, that St. Francis de Sales wrote for people in the world, and so this applies to everyone. If you had the happiness and living when the church was right and there was a religious congregation that was approved by the church, they have many special blessings and graces, and that is why, generally speaking, it's easier to save one soul in the religious life, because all of this is pretty much covered in their rule. And so if they follow their rule, they could be very sanctified by the time they die. If a religious truly follows their rule, it's pretty much guaranteed that they will go to heaven. That is why religious orders have to be approved by the church, by someone who has authority in the church. And that obviously then points out to us why many calling themselves religious today do not take vows. They're not religious in the eyes of the church, because their congregation, or whatever they call it, has not been approved by the church, and their vows were never accepted on behalf of the church by anyone with jurisdiction. But anyway, to make a good general examination in the time required that we put aside every night for this purpose, the following methods are suggested. We have our spiritual exercises to follow during the day, our work, and the life we live with those with whom we associate, in most cases with our family members. A more simple way to go through this examination each night is to ask ourselves the 3 W's. Where was I at? Who was I with? What was I doing? Or one might consider our relations to places, persons, and work. This is basically the general method outlined by St. Francis de Sales. We may consider thoughts, words, deeds, and omissions. And this is the outline of St. Ignatius of Loyola. So, if you rise at 3 o'clock in the morning and obtain those precious hours of the day as the saints recommend, you would start at 3 o'clock, but knowing that most people do not, say that we rise at least by 6 o'clock in the morning. Take the day then from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock and ask yourself, where was I at? Who was I with? What was I doing? And did I keep the resolutions I had made for myself that day? And the previous evening, it's good to read over in a general way what you plan to meditate on the following morning. Make your resolutions to avoid sin and increase in grace. The examination of conscience can be used in two general ways. One is to eradicate faults and sins from our life, and the other is to increase in virtue and practice the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. I would mention that maybe you have made the resolution to live in the presence of God and to pray every day a certain amount of times, something that would help you live in the presence of God and obtain grace for yourself and others, such as, O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. We all realize, I would think, the many problems going on in the world today, how many millions of people are in need of special graces every moment of every day. Not only the living, but also the dead, the church suffering in purgatory. Then how faithful are we in praying fervently, O God, come to our assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us. As St. Paul exhorts us and the other texts of Scripture to pray ye for one another, we should certainly be doing this as Catholics, and that's one method of fulfilling the request of those who have asked us to pray for them, is every day to pray fervently, not just mechanically. O God, come to their assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help them. And we make that resolution when we first begin our day, when we wake up in the morning, that we are going to pray that particular aspiration a certain amount of times every day. And as the weeks and the months and the years go by, we hopefully will be increasing the amount of times we pray, or at least living more in the true presence of God and praying it fervently. To do that, we examine our conscience at noon and again, especially in the evening before we go to bed, as St. Francis exhorts us. We ask ourselves, where was I at? Who was I with? What was I doing? If we find that we have prayed our ejaculation, that we were faithful to our resolutions to do good and avoid evil, thank God for it. If you were faithful in praying fervently, O God, come to their assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help them, as an example. Then thank God for it. But if during your examination you realize you were not faithful, then make it up double. If you really want to form that habit, that is the way to do it. If you want to call that a penance, I'm not sure that would be the correct terminology, but you might think of inflicting yourself on yourself that little penance to pray it twice as many times when you remember if, through whatever reason, you neglected to pray for others as you should have. That way, you will form the habit and pray faithfully, and then good habits are formed, and you increase in grace every day, building up more and more in your tail, so to speak, for your particular judgment to obtain a high degree of sanctity for all of eternity. So from 6 to 7, you ask yourselves, who was I at? Where was I at? Who was I with? What was I doing? That helps us to recall the day and what we have done. Then go on from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock and ask yourself again, where was I at? Who was I with? What was I doing? And on through the day, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, until you come to where you're at now in the evening time, examining your conscience before going to bed. If we will only be more faithful to this simple practice, which unfortunately so many neglect to do, we would indeed soon eradicate our faults, overcome all willful, deliberate, venial sins, and especially we would soon eradicate all mortal sins from our life, if that should unhappily be the way that anyone is living today. But if you do nothing, don't expect any good results. If you find this method too complicated, which seems to me to be a very simple method, at least spend your time in thanking God before you go to bed, recalling the many blessings and benefits He's bestowed upon you. Scrutinize how you've lived, at least in a general way. Your guardian angels should help recall to mind any grievances, any faults, especially any sins you have committed that day. Do not allow yourself to go to sleep without asking for pardon and making a firm resolution to amend your life. These are the ways to acquiring habits, and if we acquire good habits, then we obtain a high degree of sanctity for eternity. Unfortunately, some souls just might, for whatever reason, set aside 15 minutes at least or half an hour to examine their conscience before going to bed. But they just spend that time in idle daydreaming instead of being serious, working at it, if that's what you call it, going through these steps as the saints have outlined and doing a thorough examination as a firm resolution to amend our lives and do better tomorrow and in the future. The real value of the general examination, as of all examinations of conscience, is the renewed direction of ourselves to God, our will to Him with confidence in His goodness. If this be not secured, the examination is a failure. Hence, it is important to pray constantly, not merely for the grace to make a good examination, but also for the still more important grace of using the examination to make our hearts right with God. Just recalling our sins and faults and how many times we fell back into our bad habits does not increase grace in our souls. It could tend to make us very discouraged. Say that we had the habit of maybe eating more than we should at mealtime, and so we keep gaining weight, and then we get discouraged because we make no headways. It is one thing to recall to mind those kind of problems, but it's quite another to examine our conscience seriously, what kind of a resolution we made, and how fervently we prayed our aspirations. Oh God, come to my assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help me. When we are about to indulge our passions and our appetite, if we don't pray for the grace to conquer it, how do you expect to conquer it and be better in the future? So these can be used to obtain a great amount of profit. Do not be discouraged because things are going wrong. Just amend your life and use the examination the way that the saints have pointed out for us to be using it. If the general examination only causes anxiety to a soul, such a one must be directed to consider in a general way the day that has passed and be encouraged to make many acts of confidence in God. With a particular examination of conscience, we consider how we have acted in regard to a particular fault, that we may strengthen our determination to correct it and renew our petitions for the help we need. A particular examination is made at noontime in many religious communities, and just because we do not belong to a religious community should not exempt us from practicing these spiritual exercises. Fight one particular fault and focus our attention on the eradication of one particular failing. I believe you'll find in the Imitation of Christ words to the effect that he who eradicates one fault per year will soon become a perfect man. Rather than only examining in a general way, divide and conquer, use the particular examination to see our faults more clearly by looking at only one. And that way we correct it more quickly by repeated efforts on one only. That's a strategy that overcomes the enemy. You're probably aware that was Napoleon's plan. He used to say, divide and conquer. Most of Napoleon's battles were won by concentrating on particular points of the enemy's line. We should apply that to our spiritual life, because such a strategy will be used with great advantage in the all-important spiritual warfare. This is what we do with the particular examination of conscience. We pick out our predominant fault and work on it in a very special way. The power of the particular it was by repeating a fault, we acquired facility in repeating it and basically became a habit. The reverse now must be accomplished. It is easy to find some bad habits, and if we make our journey to heaven safely, we have to try to eradicate them. And effecting this eradication, the first weapon, of course, is prayer. If we do not petition for the grace and ask for the grace, just acceptance is not a great help. We must pray for the grace and apply it to our life. But besides prayer, we must try to undo bad habits in the very same manner as we formed them. Remember, the sinful habits were formed by repetition of sinful acts. Well, these bad habits and sins are eradicated by prayer and by repetition of acts of the opposite virtue, which repetition involves an the particular examination of conscience aims at securing this necessary repetition of acts. And that is why it is required in religious orders and congregations, because it is such a great help to obtain sanctity, and that is something that's necessary before a congregation can be approved by the church. Although religious are bound to a particular examination, every one of us should make it regularly every day if we're really serious about obtaining that degree of glory that God wants us to obtain and to overcome our faults and failings. Some will admit that it is a difficult exercise. Useful though this exercise is in itself, it often produces little fruit in souls because they do not use it properly. Not infrequently, the time allotted to it, instead of being used properly, is allowed to slip by in idle distractions. Why is this? Well, first of all, in the case of most people living in the world, they do not even allow and allot any moments of the day for this particular examination. They do not take time out to find out what their predominant faults and sins are and work on them in a serious way. And unfortunately, even religious do not always do that. But anyway, since we're not religious, let's apply this to our own lives. Why is it that few make the proper use of the particular examination? It may be because it comes at the busy part of the day and their mind is too taken up on their duties. We do not allow ourselves to give 15 minutes or half an hour to this examination of conscience. Secondly, many people in the world fail, especially because they do not have a suitable method that they follow in this examination. And others fail because they do not select a suitable subject for their examination. So it becomes that the busy part of the day in our mind seems to never be recollected. We must pray for the grace of a greater concentration and make the time to examine our conscience, to strive after the means outlined by these saints to obtain that degree of glory that God wants us to obtain, that we will be with the Blessed Trinity for eternity. However, even if we set aside the time, the fundamental cause of failure is usually want a method or unsuitability of subject. So let us consider these points and see if we can understand them better and overcome these problems. Those who are striving to live a spiritual, virtuous life should be using the particular examination at least 3 times each day. In the morning, it's more brief in most cases, but upon rising, we should at least recall the subject and resolve to practice the particular virtue that we have resolved to practice, as opposed to our predominant fault or sins. And to avoid these things because of the love of God, because that's what God wants us to do. Be ye perfect, as also your Heavenly Father is perfect. But we're not perfect if we're always constantly falling back into our own same faults and failings. By about midday or sometime close to that, as our duties permit, we should perform this spiritual exercise known as the particular examination of conscience. And then again, before retiring at night, we perform this exercise, and sometimes then considered to be in conjunction with our general examination of the day. So again, especially during the midday examination in the evening time, there are some basic points we should cover. First, there should be a petition for memory of the sin or the faults we're examining and for the desire of amendment. Remember, without prayer, we will not obtain the grace that we need, but if we pray and fulfill the requirements of prayer, God has infallibly promised to grant it to us. But in addition, after that prayer, fervently prayed, comes the actual examination, hour by hour, of the particular fault in question or the virtue we are striving to obtain. We again divide the day from the time we awoke, or at least from the time we rose for the day, until that time of the noon or whenever we are examining our conscience and ask ourselves, where was I at, what was I doing, and who was I with? And break it down and see how faithful we were to our resolution to overcome our faults and our sins and to practice virtue. And lastly, we should make a suitable resolution and petition for grace to keep it. And I would mention that, especially in the evening time, you may be meditating on something that doesn't seem so closely related to the particular fault you're trying to eradicate or the sin you're bound and determined to overcome. But nevertheless, you should still make the resolution aimed in a direct way to our predominant fault or our predominant sin that we are trying to eradicate from our lives. Do not neglect or underestimate the importance of our resolution, because it is very great. The stronger we make our resolution, and the more we are faithful to following it, it leaves a deep impression on our soul by strong and clear repetitions of the resolution. Again, as mentioned, the examination can be used to eradicate faults and sins, especially mortal sin, obviously, but also to increase in virtue, so, as the example I gave before, if you hadn't resolved to pray at least 15 times or 30 times or whatever you have resolved, O God, come to our assistance, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help us, then you asked yourselves throughout the day, who was I with, where was I at, what was I doing? You find that you neglected to fulfill your obligations. Do what these saints have told us. Make a clear and strong resolution to do better in the future, and follow that resolution. Then you will form the important habit of praying fervently. Or if you have fallen into a fault, whether it be irritation, disobedience to parents or others in authority, or neglecting to correct our children when we should, or whatever the case may be, giving into the desire to eat or drink things we do not need, or overindulging our appetites, being irritable, lingering with thoughts against the virtues of chastity and purity, allowing ourselves a second glance about immoral things, as St. Francis de Sales points out in his book. It's one thing to be taken by surprise and divine providence in a very energetic way, or whatever the word is, flashing something before us that gives us thoughts against immorality. And in today's world, they're very frequent. You can hardly go downtown without seeing immoral people on the streets. If you live in the big city, they'll be on the billboards. They pop up on television for those who are ignorant enough to watch television. On the computers or whatever, they're all over the place, even in our own families and homes in many cases. These immoral, immodestly dressed people are always popping up. It's not sinful. It's only when we take that second or third or more job, and that's when sin is involved. As the Monsignor J.M. Verhoeven told us, as my parish priest when I grew up, even back then in the 50s and 60s, some of the girls were beginning to wear shorts, and he was trying to admonish them to overcome that evilness. He mentioned what happened to Lot's wife when they fled from Sodom and Gomorrah. We know the scriptures tell us that Lot's wife turned around to look, and she turned into a pillar of salt. This Monsignor just pointed out that these immodestly dressed girls in their shorts or in modest dress may cause the men to turn around, them and turn into a telephone pole and get killed and go straight to hell. That is the sin of scandal, offering anyone the unnecessary occasion of sin. Whether it had any effect on those who heard the sermon, some it maybe did, but some it did not, for they did not change their life, they had contempt for what the Monsignor told them, and that was a very great evil. To live a wicked life. And not only the maiden saw them and turned to the telephone pole, turning back to look, went straight to hell, but they themselves probably followed at their death because they did not follow that important admonition of the parish pastor. So again, do not neglect to make the resolution. It is very important. The more often and the stronger we keep repeating our resolution, it stays before our mind. We have a better path. It's clear now what we need to do to eradicate our faults and sins and to increase in grace and virtue. St. Ignatius of Loyola gives two counsels on the particular examination. First, he says that on rising in the morning, we should recall the subject of the particular examination and should renew our resolution. Secondly, he tells us that when we notice a fault against the subject of our examination, we should put our hand on our heart. This act will remind us of our failure and of our resolution to do better. If, however, we discover that this external action is attracting the notice of others, we should drop it or substitute for it one less noticeable. But the exterior act recalls and makes a deeper impression on ourselves. Therefore, you can do something at least. If you realize you've fallen, as he says, put your hand over your heart and make an act of love. At least renew your resolution, whether it be when the clock strikes or whatever, to pray fervently your aspirations and ejaculations. O God, come to their assistance. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, please make haste to help them. Maybe you have your rosary in your pocket, as all Catholics have one about their person somewhere. Just if you realize you've fallen into your predominant sin or faults or neglected to practice the virtue you resolved to do, maybe simply slip your hand in your pocket, take a hold of your crucifix, make a short but fervent act of love to Jesus on the cross who died for our salvation. And then, without making something that's going to be distraction to others or neglecting your ability to fulfill the duties in your state of life, after that short and fervent act of love to Jesus crucified at the foot of the Calvary with Mary, just go on about your duties. If you're tempted, maybe it's these wicked, immoral people that flash before us almost daily if you're in any kind of company. It takes a strong resolution to overcome all those immoral thoughts that might pop into our mind, whether it be that temptation or to rebel against one's parents or to neglect to fulfill their duties in the state of life and correct their children, or we neglect to pray our spiritual prayers fervently, or whatever other duties we have in our state of life that we are not fulfilling. When a strong temptation comes to us, I will just mention that if you will go to Mount Calvary and have great recollection, place yourself there with St. Blessed Virgin Mary, the sorrowful Mother of God. Look at Jesus crucified. Then you will conquer that temptation to commit sin. How could you commit, for example, a sin of impurity if you were standing there with Mary, the Immaculate Pure Mother of God, looking at Jesus crucified and knowing that your sin crucifies again unto themselves the Lord Jesus Christ? No, it is because we neglect these simple acts, putting your hand into our pocket, taking hold of our rosary unless we already have it in our hand, as St. John Mary Vianney and so many other saints always did. It is because we neglect these simple things that we fail to obtain that degree of glory that we were expected by God to obtain by the time He calls us out of this life. Spiritual profit of our particular examination presupposes a desire to be better, that is, to be more pleasing to God. If we do not have at least this desire to be better, please pray fervently, at least for that. And if we have a great desire, we will be better. Just as someone who has a great desire to obtain monetary wealth works hard at it, and they succeed in what is oftentimes called multi-level marketing system, the gifting system, or whatever these internet. Multi-level marketing. Another 10 to 15% possibly break even, and about 85% make nothing. So we ask ourselves, well, how is it that the 5% made so much and the rest made so little? It might be because you're at the top, but in another type of thing, such as the gifting programs, it's equal no matter when you come in, but still only 5 or 3% make a great amount. Why is that? The same as we're speaking here in the spiritual life. They were firmly resolved to do better, no matter what the crosses, contradiction. They overcome that temptation to pick up that heavy phone and call people to bring them into their program or whatever the case may be. They were resolved to make money. If we are resolved to obtain a high degree of glory in heaven, to obtain a lot of sanctifying grace before we die, we must be resolved to be better and be more pleasing to God. Make that firm resolution and renew it over and over again. Stay on track. All the tools that we need to obtain a great degree of glory for eternity are available to everyone. Everything we need, the spiritual exercises, are all here, the same as they were for every canonized saint now reigning in glory with the Blessed Trinity. Some of the guidance that were available to them are not here. But nevertheless, the sufficient amount of spiritual benefits are still available and will always be available for each and every one of us to obtain a great degree of glory for eternity on the condition that we use them, that we practice these particular and general examinations of conscience, that we do pray, that we do follow these outlines and make a strong resolution to be better every day and to give thanks to God when He helps us overcome these many temptations that we are exposed to every day. So again, we must have this great desire to be better, to be more pleasing to God, because this is the reason of the petition on rising in the morning and at the beginning of the time devoted to the particular examination. Granted this, a knowledge of the frequency of the defect makes our desire to correct ourselves become more earnest, because we see a definite and serious work we have to do in order to become more pleasing to God. In other words, we are working at our salvation, or we are not. Are we among that small percent who would become great saints? At least among the still small percent to at least go to heaven? Or will we neglect what God provides and be among those that follow the broad road that leads us to destruction, and many there are who enter thereat? How narrow the way that leadeth to life, and few there are that find it. Why are there few that find it? because few practice the spiritual exercises. Explained today. From this, it should be easy to realize why many examinations of conscience have little or no result. The desire of being more pleasing to God is not there. We must often ask for this desire and put it into practice. If we do not, we have only ourselves to blame. If on the day we have our particular judgment, the day that we are called into eternity, we realize then when it is too late that we were very negligent in practicing the particular examination of conscience until we had our particular judgment. We were not among those who took life seriously to obtain a high degree of glory for eternity. We allowed ourselves to be distracted by the wicked old world, the concupiscences of the flesh, and the pride of life. We chose rather to go along that broad way that leadeth to destruction, where many go in thereat. Let us pray on this glorious feast of the Most Holy Trinity to amend our lives, to love God, to follow the counsels of our Father in heaven, to do what Jesus Christ told us to do, to live a virtuous life and die a happy death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
make our hearts like unto thine.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Hail Mary, daughter of the Eternal Father, mother of the Son, and faithful spouse of the Holy Ghost,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.